The difference between a gunshot and a door slam is how fast I'm out of my chair. I bring my head up from the desk where I apparently slept. Again. There's a half-empty bottle of gin in the inbox. At least I put the cap on. I grew up in the city. My father was a disappearing act and my mother was a real witch. It gives me some privileges, but not many. I can tell when the knocking at the door is new money, an angry client, or a spooky with suicidal urges. Or in this case, Teddy, my theoretical assistant.
Hey, boss, are you awake?
I brought you a coffee and your newspaper. A dog bit a mailman out in New Chester. That made the front page.
Nothing else? Full moon last night and everything.
I know. But, hey, are we behind again? Today is payday.
We aren't behind. I'm behind. After all, it's my name on the door. Nirvana White, P.I.
Could take one of the cheating wife cases.
I've been an investigator for a dozen years. Ever since Orkwick and his corporate vampires sucked the life out of my Jamie.
It's obviously not your style of
investigation. I've been trying to nail those feeders ever since. I haven't gotten close to Orkwick, but I've scraped a few of his associates off the sidewalk.
You could let me do the legwork.
I take odd cases for the money, and I do mean odd cases. Sometimes it helps to be in two places at once, so I hired Teddy.
It's the sort of thing I'm trained for.
He knows how I like my coffee, so there's that. You'll have to wait on your peeping Tom act, Teddy. Something will turn up, something always does. You see?
Come in. Let me take your coat. Have a seat.
He was short and ugly. Not the ugliest man I'd ever seen, but he came close. Long nose, big ears, watery eyes. This kind of ugly takes years of country club inbreeding. And the overcoat that Teddy had taken was cashmere. Money. I look at the paper while he cools his heels. When he starts to fidget, I talk. So, I'm Nirvana White. Who are you?
My name is Raymond Porter. I have a problem with my wife.
Nirvana, I have the lenses for the special camera.
Shut up, Teddy. What kind of problem do you have, Mr. Porter?
My wife, Barbara, we call her Babe. Babe is missing. She might be dead.
I don't do missing persons. Call the pork. They can take the case. Teddy, show Mr. Porter.
No! Damn it. She's missing. I came home from a trip to New York last night and Babe was gone. The patio door was open.
Why do you think she's dead?
Before I left, Babe told me she was afraid of the big bad wolf.
What did she mean?
I don't know.
And the police didn't.
I didn't call the police. I called my
Maybe
lawyer.
Maybe Babe got wise and left you. Maybe it was a burglary. You called your lawyer.
He introduced me to Babe. Said if anything ever happened, I should call him first.
So who's your lawyer?
I think you know him. His name is Dewey Drake.
Dewey Drake. Sometimes I think I know him too. Liar, untrustworthy, pervert. Crooked as a ziggurat. But he always buys the drinks, so he's okay in my book. Go on.
Dewey said I should ask you for help. He said to tell you... It sounds funny. But he said to tell you about Babe, I mean...
Just tell me.
Dewey said to tell you that Babe was just like a little firefly.
Damn it, Dewey. Just like a firefly. Babe was a pixie. At least a half-blood, or however much blood she had left. My fee is $5,000, plus expenses. $1,000 up front.
You'll take the case. Good, good! Should I meet you at the house?
Let us deal with this. I wouldn't go home if I were you, Mr. Porter. My somewhat assistant Teddy and I will take a look. Give him the address and a check.
I love her, Miss White, but I'm not stupid. I don't expect you to find her. Just find the bastard that did this! Call me when you know something.
I'll try, Mr. Porter. We'll see what we can dig up. Pixies. They always like the good life. At least while they're living.
I thought you didn't take missing persons. Should I get the fingerprint kit?
No. Get the .45 extra special. I'll say this for Teddy. He may be shiftless, soft-hearted, and soft-headed, but he can pack a hell of an arsenal in his satchel. I let Teddy drive because it's easier to let him do it than nag me about how many laws I'm breaking. While he's pushing a gas-conscious 55, hugging the curbs like the chess club captain on prom night, I call Dewey Drake.
Nirvana, baby. I thought you'd never call.
Cram it, Dewey. It's not a social call and you know it. What's with this babe in Newchester?
Babe Porter. She's a pixie doll. Well, her father was, anyway. Look, honey pie, babe.
Dewey, if you don't cut the sweet talk, I'll break your jaw. And then I'll make you buy me a drink.
Okay, jeez, Nirvana. Listen to me. Babe wasn't a cold fish, but she mostly stayed home. She wasn't involved in pixie dust or anything.
So who'd want her gone?
I don't know. That's your job. I don't have any ideas on this one, kid.
Okay. We're getting into Newchester. I'll call if something shows. You owe me.
When don't I?
Newchester is one of those new-build suburbs where everything is supposed to look old. The house looked like all the others.
Mr. Porter said the back door was open.
Go inside and look around. Maybe it was a burglary gone bad.
I'll see what I can find.
I looked around. I have an apartment, so I couldn't frankly tell you what a backyard should look like and what it shouldn't. Yard had a white picket fence, stone patio with a few lounge chairs, a little cart with a silver drink tray. There was a bottle of champagne on the drink tray, mostly empty and warming in the sun. There was only one glass. It probably wasn't a lover's quarrel.
Hey! Who are you?
I hadn't noticed the neighbor in his own backyard. He was slender, with silver hair and a young face. He was wearing a white shirt and gray expandable slacks. My name is Nirvana White. I have a few questions for you, Mr.
My name is Lucas. John Lucas. Are you here to see the Porters?
Mr. Lucas, your neighbor seems to have disappeared, and I want to know—
Babe is missing? Oh, that's terrible, really horrible. If there's anything I can do to help—
When was the last time you saw her?
Just yesterday. We were talking about gardening.
Lucas looked over at a bed of jasmine in his yard. Blooming and fragrant.
If I think of anything else, I'll call Ray.
He turned and walked back toward his garden. I went back to the patio. Whoever had cleaned had done a pretty good job. There were some faint pink smears on a flagstone or two, but the blood was mostly gone. There wasn't much left. Maybe she had a nosebleed. Then I looked again at the silver drink tray. There were fine droplets spattered on it, clear enough if you were looking. Just like a man to leave the silver unpolished. Unless he couldn't touch the stuff. The big bad wolf. And jasmine doesn't grow this far north.
Teddy! Teddy, get out here now!
Lucas jumped over the fence and came for me, changing right in front of me. I got my hands on the drink tray just as he lunged, and I swung it with everything I... He crashed into me. My head hit the patio, and the lights went out. I came to sitting on a lounge chair with a bag of ice and a splitting headache. Teddy was talking to someone.
Already told you, I'm not taking the cuffs off. You tried to kill my boss, and I'm not supposed to let that happen.
But it burns! It's burning me!
Maybe you should have thought about that before you killed Babe Porter.
So you figured it out.
You're awake.
Unfortunately. Damage?
You took a nice crack on the skull, but nothing's broken. You were lucky that tray was silver. It could have been the end of you.
I looked at Lucas. The left side of his face was a nasty red burn. He was in a lounge chair as well, but cuffed to it with Teddy's special sterling bracelets. How'd you figure it?
He was half-changed when you knocked him out. I guess it wasn't just bad hygiene. The expanded slacks were a good idea. They didn't even tear
when... Who's the alpha?
I called Dewey, but his receptionist said he was out. I'll try later.
Spill, Lucas, or I'll call the dog catcher.
No, please don't!
Spill.
I lost control yesterday with the full moon and all. I changed. I couldn't help it. And I bit somebody.
The mailman.
Babe saw it. She said she would tell my alpha if I didn't...
So you killed her. You couldn't help yourself.
I didn't mean to. I didn't know she was a pixie.
You mean you thought you could get away with it? You didn't know jasmine grows where you bury fairies?
I didn't know! Now, will you let me out of these cuffs? The silver hurts.
Leave him there, Teddy. Call the dog catcher. Skip the alpha.
No, please! You don't know what he'll do to me!
I don't. But I can hope. Take me home, Teddy.
Sure thing, boss.
Teddy drove slow going home, which was fine by me. We got to the office by late afternoon. I paid Teddy and sent him home for a long weekend. I thought about Lucas, the name, the elasticized pants, the hair. I should have seen it. Maybe one of these times I won't be so lucky. I called Dewey. He owed me a drink, or three.
Nirvana White, Flowers in the Grave, was written by Philip Hickman, directed by Adam Simon, and produced by Catherine Ranella and Ryan Van Bibber. This story is featured as part of the Midnight Audio Theater's Scriptwriting Competition Winners Collection of 2012-2013, featuring the voice talents of Susan Wismar as Nirvana White, Corbin Jones as Teddy, Luther Center as Raymond Porter, James Kelly as Dewey Drake, and Caleb Inboden as John Lucas. Music provided by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com under a Creative Commons license. The executive producer is Dan Michalko. This has been a Merity Media Midnight Audio Theater production.